guests for so kindly coming this afternoon to Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir to celebrate this most wonderful festival every Sunday. In glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, our heart becomes purified. And the purpose of this human life is exclusively to purify the heart, to awaken the original natural Krishna consciousness within us. The association of devotees is the only atmosphere in which this is possible. Therefore, the Supreme Lord considers every devotee so very precious. In fact, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained at one time that all the millions of planets and all the millions of universes and all the wealth within all of those planets and universes are not equal to even compare to one of his devotees in his heart. And today we are so honored to have such a devotee in our midst, His Holiness Srila Sachinandan Maharaj. I do not want to speak too long. Actually, I do want to speak too long. I would like to speak for the rest of my life about His Holiness Sachinandan Maharaj. I would certainly go back to Godhead if I did this. But I think you would rather hear him speak for himself. But I would like to say something. He's from the country of Germany. Very famous country in the world. They started World War I. They started World War II. But in this land, Germany, where there are many germs, a wonderful devotee appeared within this world. When he was only a small child of but 16 years old, he left everything behind to dedicate himself to the service of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement under the divine direction of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And from that early childhood age, he took so much responsibility. He performed so much austerity. Within a year or so, he became one of the topmost biggest book distributors in the entire planet Earth. I believe he came to Krishna consciousness in the year of 1971. And although I was living in the far distant place of New Vrindavan at the time, even we would hear the glories of this Sachinandan Prabhu, who was risking his life going to the most incredibly dangerous places to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. And I believe he was number one book distributor in the world on several occasions. This was when book distribution was at its peak throughout the planet. His great determination, great enthusiasm, and always very humble, very sweet-natured, and always inspiring the Vaishnavas wherever he may go. Later on, he came to India. He actually brought the first buses to India I believe for the library party from Germany. Holiness Jaya Dvaita Maharaj Ki.
Holiness Radhanath Maharaj Holiness.
Holiness are attracting many great personalities to their lotus feet. So Maharaj was actually a great pioneer in going to places where Krishna consciousness was never ever preached or attempted to be preached at. Dangerous places, even with harsh people, violent people. And he would go and by his own transcendental nature melt people's hearts, start centers, develop preaching. Recently, when we were in Germany, we saw the types of people that he is bringing to Krishna consciousness. Some of the most wonderful, sincere, intelligent people. And he's one of our very dearest friends. Although we have not met many times because of different locations in our responsibilities, whenever we do meet, it is a grand festival of jubilation in my heart to receive some particles of dust from his lotus-like feet. So now let us all very enthusiastically, very loudly, very warmly welcome His Holiness Srila Sachinanda Maharaj to Sri Radha Gopinath Thakura. And His Holiness Jaya Dvaita Maharaj, no need for introduction. He is the Lord and Master of this temple for many years. Let us welcome him once again. Maharaj, please enlighten these fortunate devotees with your kind words.
Hare Krishna, after such an introduction, it is very difficult for me to speak because I feel very moved and also very grateful. This affection which is shared amongst Vaishnavas is something which cannot be had in the 14 planetary systems, and it is an affection which makes one drawn to more surrender to Krishna's lotus feet. So I want to also say that Radhanath Maharaj has praised me so much, but I could equally now praise him. He has definitely charmed us very much by his wonderful Vaishnav qualities. And I have seen that when he came to Germany just recently, many devotees were touched at heart and moved and committed themselves to more service to Krishna, because the affection which comes from such a dear Vaishnava as Radhanath Maharaj draws one closer to Krishna and serves one more. I think I could now speak about Radhanath Maharaj and glorify him very much, but I will take a different time when I will do that. And I know already the time when I will do this, and I don't do it now. Maharaj has requested us to speak a little bit on the subject matter of Krishna consciousness, and I will do so before Radhanath Maharaj and then our Jayadvaita Maharaj, the oldest of us, I think, in Krishna consciousness, might be, will make the conclusion of this. So it is a triple Sunday feast lecture. We will start with the most insignificant person, and then the great, the two other Vaishnavas are the Himalaya mountains. So that will be the plan. I wanted to speak on a subject matter which we feel is both relevant and also inspirational for all of us. In the Bhagavad Gita, Sri Krishna describes our identity as angshas of Him, part and parcels of Him. The example of a part and parcel can be found in Srila Prabhupada's lectures. He said, the little gold which you might find on a ring is a part and parcel of the big gold mine. That means it has the same qualities of the gold in the gold mine, but not in quantity. Mamaivang so jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. Krishna says the living entities in this material world are His part and parcels. That means we are actually godly. We are children of Krishna. The Upanishads, the Svetas, start their teachings by saying, O you, Amrita Putras, children of immortality, who once resided in the kingdom of God, listen. We are part and parcels of Krishna, but in this material world, we each have a chain around us. A chain of our conditioned nature, which is constituted of our mind and our material senses. This chain chains us to material existence. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur actually describes that the conditioned soul, although being a part of God and a children or child of immortality, has this chain around the leg. You might have seen in medieval times, prisoners had a chain and then a big iron block. And this made it impossible for them to move freely. In the same way, we are chained by our mind and by our senses to this material world. In Vedic psychology, a person is what his sanskaras or impressions are. In our mind, we have many impressions, not only from our childhood, but from many births before this life, many childhoods, many old ages, many adulthoods, and so on, in many different lives. And these, the impressions which we have made in our material minds during our conditioned existence through many life forms are called sanskaras, who influence us in a very, very deep way. Why is someone attracted to live in the beggar quarters of Bombay? Why is someone attracted to go to the dance hall? Why is someone attracted to foreign countries like Europe to go for touristic purposes? It is all because of sanskaras, or previously made impressions in our mind. And these sanskaras influence our whole life, our thought stream. Let us consider a very simple example to make this point very clear and bring it into the immediate experience of every one of us. When you have a river, the river water is forced to go according to the previously made riverbed. It always goes this way since the beginning of the river. It is forced to go in this way. It does not change. In the same way, a conditioned soul is forced to think and then to will and then to thinking, feeling and willing and then acting according to these sanskaras, which are very deep within our hearts. Another example, those of you who have parents or have themselves gramophonic records know that the needle of the gramophone is going in these grooves which are inside the, which are engraved in the gramophonic record. Now imagine the gramophonic record has what is called a damage. Then the needle will always stay in the same groove. It will go it can drive you nervous. So in the same way, these sanskaras or deep impressions in the mind of a conditioned soul are always forcing him to go in the same directions. I want to enjoy and I want to control. I want to enjoy and I want to control. I want to enjoy and I want to control. I want to... Hare Krishna. I know that your sense of humor is incited, but this fact should make us cry. Our deeply engraved conditioning is forcing us to always stay in material life. We are in a prison, or we have a chain with an iron block around us, which are our previous experience in the material world. This is very, very difficult to give up. It's in fact only possible if new or deeper impressions are made. In our German farm in Bavaria, where Lord Nrsimhadev resides to protect our yatra from the German qualities which Radhanath Maharaj has mentioned. You know, the Germans tend to be a little aggressive. They started two world wars after all. So we had to install Lord Nrsimhadev to exist in this country in peace, or relative peace. We have a little river there which flew was flowing too close to some meadow where which was needed for the grazing of the cows. This little river had flown there since a long, long time. It is there in old geographic maps, and we wanted to save the meadow because we needed it. The river was after the snow melted, spread its water, and then the meadow became unusual, swampy, and was not to be used. Grass was not growing properly, and so on. So we were confronted with the idea what to do to change the course of the river. And Harikesh Maharaj had a practical idea. He is both a wonderful devotee and also a very pragmatic thinker. We dug another riverbed and used the earth of the new riverbed to close the old riverbed. And in this way, we could divert the river so that it would not damage any longer this meadow or that we could build a meadow where it used to be. So this is a very good and relevant practice for all of us. We all are very conditioned by nature. When we come to the temple of Krishna, we sometimes see how conditioned we are. Everyone dances and our mind says, oh, I hope it's soon over. When we see Vaishnavas in our life, we think, oh, they are very enthusiastic, but maybe they are a little bit over-enthusiastic. This, in other words, disturbing sanskaras, our psychophysical nature, our mind and our senses can sometimes disturb us even when we come to Krishna consciousness. We don't feel so enthusiastic. We don't feel so determined. When we see the same attachments and allurements coming up in our lives, like a simple TV program or a cinema show, we feel weakness and we feel drawn to our old habits. And in this way, we don't surrender as much as we would like to, or as much as we could, to the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas and to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes we want to do more, but this chain with the iron block is behind us and makes a disturbing noise. Sometimes we even look around if other Vaishnavas perceive it as well, and sometimes they do. Yes, we are conditioned souls. Yes, our previous sanskaras, our experiences in this world, have formed us and made prisoners out of us. But, and I want to repeat this but again because it's a very important but, when we create new deep impressions in our heart, the old ones can be closed up safely, and we can go on with the progressive life of Krishna consciousness. Kirtans, for instance, and dancing in kirtan, forgetting that you are an old man or an old woman, a patient or an intellectual, throwing overboard that you are a student or a well-received man of public life, this can create deep spiritual impressions in us. Or serving Vaishnavas, hearing what they want to communicate towards us, can create deep sanskaras, spiritual sanskaras in us, so that our thought flow and our actions can change and we can actually become free. There is now advertisement in Bombay, you know, some kangaroos are jumping and it says, also you were born free. Or I saw another advertisement, a dolphin is dancing over the waves, and then, or was it a whale, and then also you were born free. Yes, you are a free child of immortality, but you have to not buy that a gimmick which they advertise in order to make you free by a new fan, by a new Usha fan, or so on. No, you need a spiritual deep impressions, like coming to the kirtans, going to the holy dham, chanting the holy name with full attention, ignoring the stupid mind which says enough of this. And so on. This creates deep impressions. A new riverbed is born through which our life force, our pran, will go. In order to give an example of what we were just saying, I would like to close my little presentation by telling you a leela from one of the associates of Mahaprabhu. I know that His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj is like a person who
came out of the pages of Chaitanya Charitamrita, and he talks also so much about Mahaprabhu. So I thought I would try to please Maharaj with a little leela in this connection, and also the assembled Vaishnavas. This is a very good leela. It is about a dear associate of Mahaprabhu called Sharanga Thakur. Sharanga Thakur was a very humble soul, and he did not want to take disciples because he thought himself to be utterly unfit to lead any soul on his way back home, back to Godhead. Once Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to him and said, "Sharanga, look at this tree under which you are chanting. It is slowly dying. What is the future of this tree?" And Sharanga Thakur said to Mahaprabhu, "Whatever mercy you decide to bestow upon this dead tree, that is the future of this tree." So Mahaprabhu was very pleased. As far as I remember, he embraced the tree, and the tree started to gain life again and grow very jubilantly. Then after this pastime, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came again to Sharanga Thakur and said, "Sharanga Thakur, I want you to initiate. I want that you give your mercy to other conditioned souls as well. Please do it." So Sharanga Thakur, who was requested by the Lord himself, could not deny, and he made up his mind at once. "Yes," he thought to himself, "if my Lord wants, the next person whom I see tomorrow, I will make him into I will give him the diksha. I will rejuvenate him." So in the morning, it was, I believe, a little, it was still dark. Sharanga Thakur went and took his bath in Mother Ganga. Then all of a sudden, he felt something touching his body. And this stayed at his body, and he could not really finish his bath, so he took it and pushed it towards the shore and finished his bath. Then he was starting, drying, and then doing his japa, his mantras. And when the sun rose, he saw what he had pushed to the shore. It was a dead body. It was a boy called Murari who had been bitten by a snake. It is custom in Bengal that young boys who die an untimely death are not cremated but put on a stretcher and given to mother into the arms of Mother Ganga. This dead body had floated and had touched his body, and Sharanga Thakur had put it on the shore. So he remembered what he had promised to Mahaprabhu in his mind the previous day. "The first one whom I see, I will give him initiation." Krishna, it was a promise. It was a promise to Mahaprabhu. So he could not do anything else. With great faith in the service of Mahaprabhu, he sat down next to this dead boy and started to recite the initiation mantras into his left ear. And after some time, the boy started to show symptoms of life. It was breathing. Then he woke up and he had tears of love in his face and shouted, Hari, Hari! Hare Krishna, you also. It is amazing, but he was revived from the death and he became Sharanga's disciple. His name was Murari Sharanga Thakur, the Murari of Sharanga Thakur. A little later, the village from where he came heard about his wonderful resurrection from the death, you could say. And his father came and said, Come Murari, come with me. We have picked a girl in suitable age for marriage for you. Come with your father and marry this girl. But Murari said, I cannot go. How can I ever leave my father? He is father who has given life. So his spiritual master, Sharanga Thakur, had given life to Murari, and therefore he did not want to leave him. His parents had to accept it, that yes, Sharanga Thakur is your father because he gave you life when you were dead. So this Murari became a wonderful devotee. He had practically experienced that he is a child of eternity. You know, he knew he is not the body. He was very, very fearless. He sometimes played with snakes. When he saw a tiger, he paddled the tiger and said, Chant Hare Krishna! And he sometimes, it is reported, sat on the tiger and galloped with him over the land in full jubilation. When he wanted to have his peace, he took a big stone and sunk on the ground of the Ganga where he did his mental japa to be undisturbed. He became fully surcharged with a new blissful life in Krishna consciousness. This is our aim as well. We want to become surcharged. We are, when we are not in spiritual life, when we are in material life, when we carry this chain behind us and this iron block, we are actually pitiable. If our mind just goes according to the previous impressions, I want to control and I want to enjoy, I don't want to surrender, we are sad cases of private tragedies. But when we can come to the Vaishnavas and in addition allow that in their presence a new sanskara, a new riverbed, a new character is formed, then our life is successful. So I want to say to all of you, your examples of His Holiness Radhana Maharaj's Chintamani-like touchstone qualities. Even I today was fully determined to not dance. I'm a Panchakarma patient. But Radhana Maharaj has said, now you are a Panchatattva patient. And then with legs like butter, I was trying to dance because Maharaj was inspiring us, and we are very happy to be in the quality and the association of such a wonderful Vaishnav who is creating a new riverbed in our German minds, who is giving new sanskaras. We are also very happy to be an object of affection of Jayadvaita Maharaj, who gives me always good counsel about deep spiritual questions which transform my existence. So in this way, I feel like a good example of my lecture, someone who gets slowly impressed by the jewel-like qualities of the Vaishnavas, so that new sanskaras can be born and the old record, the broken record, I want to control, I want to enjoy, is getting back on track, and we become glorifiers of Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sisi Radha Gopinatha ki jai. His Holiness Jayadvaita Maharaj ki jai. His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj ki jai. Go Premanandi Hare Hare.
Holiness Sachinandan Maharaj ki jai.
You have to chant something in my left ear.
Ah.
The Amrataputra people, everyone is son of the Amrit, but we're forgetting. One time Prabhupada was challenged that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's the only son. Prabhupada said, son means that he's a good son, that he's remembering God. And others are not good sons, they're forgetting God. So our position is that we're eternal, and we're thinking that we're this body. We're part and parcel of Krishna, Amsha, and we're thinking that we're independent. This is our illusion. So Ishopanishad says, vidyamcha vidyamcha yat tad vedo bhayamsa avidyayam rityum tirtva avidyayam rityum ashnati. That one has to know the spiritual, one has to know what this material world is. I'm thinking I'm very worldly, I know what this world is about. But I'm not knowing, I'm thinking that it's something that it's not. I'm thinking that this is a place for enjoyment. I want to control, I want to enjoy. And in fact, it's Dukkhale Mashashvatam. Miserable. So many troubles. So one has to know factually how this material world is unsuitable as a residence for us. And we have to know the reality that I'm not this body, that I'm spirit soul, that Krishna is the eternal Satchidananda Vigraha, form of blissful eternal knowledge. And that I'm also like Krishna, as Maharaj was saying, that same in quality, only the quantity. Krishna is very great and we're very small. In this way, we have to know both things. We have to know matter and we have to know spirit. We have to know what this illusion is so that we can turn our back on it. And we have to know what the reality is so that we can turn toward it. Then avidyayam rityum tirtva. By that understanding, we can transcend this ignorance of the material world. And transcending this ignorance means transcending rityum, transcending the cycle of birth and death. Avidyayam rityum tirtva, going beyond all that. And vidyayam rityam ashnute. We can enjoy the real nectar, vidyaya, amritam ashnita, real knowledge. Real knowledge means to understand that I am Krishna's eternal servant, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to not only know, but ultimately to see Krishna face to face. We say, no, I know the President of the United States. But I don't know him factually. I see his picture in the newspaper. But you can know Krishna not only in a vague, impersonal way, but Prabhupada said so many times that as we're seeing one another face to face, you can see Krishna also face to face. One can become the intimate associate of Krishna as servant, as friend, as parent, as conjugal associate. Avidyayam and Vidyayamritam Ashnute. One can enter into the real life, happy life of service to Krishna in the real world, the spiritual world. So our movement is meant for that, for getting out of this unsuitable place and going back to Godhead, back to the association of Krishna. But by the association of great souls, by the association of pure-hearted devotees, and by following the process of Krishna consciousness as found in authorized shastra under proper direction, we can achieve that goal. It's not theoretical, but one can factually go back home, back to Godhead, by development of Krishna consciousness.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
The mercy of devotees is to give life to the dead. In this world, materially, people are very much alive. But spiritually, quite dead. Yanisha sarvabhutanam. Bhagavad Gita explains how a devotee is always awake and alive to the glorification of the name and pastimes of the Lord and the service of Krishna. But materialistic people are very much asleep. Actually, sleep is like death. To be unconscious. Srila Prabhupada explains there's only one type of consciousness, and that is Krishna consciousness. Because that is the original, only real consciousness of the soul. To forget Krishna is spiritually to be unconscious. Within material civilization, people can work so hard and create such an incredible technology to support and facilitate fulfilling their material desires. But what are they doing for their spiritual progress? Their souls are literally starving. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, and for that matter, all truly spiritual personalities, they come to give life to the dead. Through speaking transcendental knowledge, when that knowledge comes through the system of parampara, it literally has the power to awaken the sleeping condition of the soul. If this knowledge is not empowered by God Himself through parampara, it may stimulate the mind, but it cannot awaken the soul. And that is why the great acharyas have put so much emphasis on only hearing those humble servants who repeat the message of the Supreme Personality of Godhead through disciplic succession. There are many people in many religions, in many parts of the world, especially here in India, who can repeat very nicely what they read in the scriptures. But because they have not heard through disciplic succession, they do not even understand what they are reading. And the power of God is not in their words. They can stimulate our intelligence and give us a tremendous amount of pleasure and enjoyment, but that does not awaken the sleeping quality of the soul. Evam parampara praptam idam rajashayavithi. Sachinandan Maharaj was speaking this very nice story about Sharanga Thakur. And really, the lesson we could learn from it is the great potency of disciplic succession. Actually, he was not willing to accept disciples. On many occasions, Lord Chaitanya told him, you must start initiating disciples. But he felt himself unqualified. He felt that it was not what he really wanted to take responsibility for in life. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he embraced that tree and brought it back to life, he wanted to show what he wanted to utilize Saranga Thakur to do on his behalf. To bring the spiritually dead back to life. And when Lord Chaitanya said, you just repeat this message. What is the message? The same message Lord Chaitanya gave everyone, everywhere. Chant the holy name of Krishna. Worship Krishna. Hear the message of Krishna and tell others about Krishna. Krishna is your real mother. Krishna is your real father. Krishna is your only real and true wealth. Krishna is your life and soul. Chant the holy names of Krishna. So Saranga Thakur, on that order, he became guru. He repeated the message of the Lord on the order of the Lord.